It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
I am completely breaking all the rules this morning, Nancy. Oh, geez, there goes another one. I am breaking all the rules.
Do you need paper towels?
I know, because I brought my bar towels. Look, these are the ones from my bar. Oh, good morning, everyone. Oh, you're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And we're not supposed to have things on the console, so if you hear this throughout the course of the show, that's just me making cocktails. Because, Nancy, when everybody thinks it's the end of summer, it's not.
Listen.
It's the beginning of fall.
I know!
Let's just be really clear about what's happening right
now. Can I just
Hold on. I want everyone to hear the mix. This is the mix. This is me mixing our first fall cocktail, and it's a crossover cocktail is what I like to refer to it as crossover cocktail. We've got an interesting show today. I want to talk a little bit about the use of found objects because this is fall is perfect antiquing time. And so I wanted to have that be my topic about how to search for found objects, how to use them, how to find them, and how they absolutely put immediate authenticity into your interior in ways other accessories and other finishes and furnishings just do not.
However, I have to
in order
you,
to get in the mood, I had to bring in a cocktail because I've been promising you a cocktail for months
like
now.
All the time. Yeah.
All right, so let me tell you what I have in front of me. I have a derivative of my son Luke's apple mash. He makes an amazing apple mash, which is a whiskey cocktail made with fresh apples. It basically is a little bit of an apple muddle, if you will. For those of you who are familiar with a muddle, you put it in the bottom of the glass. You mix whatever else you need to mix in it, whether it's simple syrup or whether it's other bitters, and then you mash it up, right? Like you would in a classic old-fashioned. Well, this is the same, but this is an apple old-fashioned. But it doesn't have any orange. So in your classic old-fashioned, you're going to have the cherry, you're going to have the orange, you're going to have a lot of some of those citrus flavors. This is still on the citrusy side, but this is using apple. So what I want to do is to start the show and to get us all in the fall mood, I want to describe this cocktail, and I'm going to hand it out.
Thank you.
And I'm going to hand it to you.
You should say who else is with us.
Okay, so Lauren Taylor is joining us, who is our PR master.
She doesn't
want
to talk,
That's okay. She doesn't want to talk, but she'll talk anyway. So it's not really going to matter. You're going to hear her in the background. So cheers,
everyone.
I moved
your microphone.
Happy fall.
Happy fall.
Okay, all right. So take a sip real quick, and then I'm going to tell everyone what's in it.
Okay.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh.
In this boozy forward cocktail that can be manipulated five ways from Sunday, I'm going to tell you what's in it, right? And you want to make sure that you're giving it a really good stir, okay? Because there's
Let me stir mine a little.
Yep. You're going to want to give it a really good stir. I made these before we got on air, and I'm going to tell you what I'm loving about it, okay? So it starts with a healthy dose of old-fashioned bitters. It starts with the apples at the bottom, and it starts with two Luxardo cherries. And it absolutely then, I put in a little, what is this, from Angel's Envy, their port syrup, okay? This drink, if done to whatever you're liking, I made this one a little bit more boozy forward because it's going to water down. The key with this is if you ever if you ever want to serve this drink, you have to serve it with crushed ice, okay?
Yes.
Smaller cubes. Got to be watery, okay? You want it to water down. If you want to take it to the next level, you can absolutely slushy this and put it in a blender, and it will make an amazing apple slushy. This is basically an apple old-fashioned with no orange.
It is really good.
Isn't it good? It's boozy forward, too. So let me tell you what I got in there. What I got in there is 1 ounce of Tennessee apple, Jack Daniel's Tennessee apple.
Jack apple.
Yep, Jack apple. And then basically just my one of my all-purpose go-tos for mixers, which is Yellowstone. I just think it's a great all-purpose single-barrel whiskey that I really like that I can kind of do anything with it, right? So we are all drinking the apple old-fashioned.
Sorry.
I'm trying to fix your...
Oh, are we back?
We are there. I just want to, while we're sipping, I just want to make sure
This is getting me in the mood.
Yeah, I got that. Yeah.
This is getting me in the mood.
Yeah.
Right?
You know what I have to do later, though? I have to watch myself. I have to go to the fair and I have to MC auction. So maybe,
no, this
maybe
is even
only
better.
Maybe only one of these.
Maybe. Maybe. But you're getting the whiskey and you're
delicious.
Getting the apple. Here's what you're not getting. What you're not getting in this is what? And see if you guys can pick it out. If you're not a whiskey fan, you're not getting it. You're not getting the burn.
No, not at all.
At all.
Oh, what are we adding? A little bit. What is this?
I'm doctoring it for you because what I want, we're going to stir it again. Here, give me another stir. Okay. What I did is I wanted more old-fashioned bitters in there. Okay. I wanted a little bit more of that cardamom, cinnamon vibe in it for you guys. And remember, I make these cocktails to taste, right? So like you can, it's a great one that you can modify. Isn't that better?
Even better. I know.
That's even better. Not even better?
It's so good.
I know. I went a little light on the old fashioned bitters.
So good.
I think you want about 4 or 5 dashes in this.
Yeah, I like it. But
here's where this is going. I'm gonna describe this for you too. When you guys do the mash on this, mm-hmm. in other words, when you put in the cherry, you put in the apple, you can put in simple syrup if you want. I decided to put in port syrup from Angel's Envy, which is a wine based syrup.
And the mash is still in here somewhere.
The mash
right?
is still in there at the bottom. I'm gonna tell you that when you do it, you really have to mash up the apple. Unlike mm-hmm. a pulpy fruit. Mm-hmm. Where the juice will like one push down on the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't have to go crazy with the muddle.
Right.
You have to really muddle and take your time with the muddle to be able to get the apple coming forward. But what you're getting in this is a really well balanced cocktail that has apple, it has the old fashioned vibe to it, but you're also getting only a subtle burn on the back end.
Right.
You're not getting
Just keeps you a little bit warm, like you need in the fall when it's a little chilly.
I was gonna say it's a great morning whiskey, but I don't think that's really good to say.
I don't know. We'll find out tomorrow. Mm. That's what you start your Labor Day.
Oh, it's so
Monday.
Delicious.
Anyway, this is what you got to do.
Good morning,
good
everybody,
breakfast.
And happy Labor Day weekend. I know a lot of people were lamenting the end of summer. I don't.
Nope.
I don't love summer. I don't love summer. I mean, listen, summering up here where we are in the Geneva Lakes area is a sport. It is a sport. Summering is something that we take very seriously up here, especially in the Midwest, I think, in general.
Yeah.
Because we know what's coming.
So
but,
pretty.
But here's the thing. I'm going to tell you right now. Whenever I get to this time of year, and you know how I get, by Thanksgiving, you know I'll be off the...
Yeah.
Right? I'll just be going crazy with, getting reflective and melancholy about the year. You know how I get every holiday season.
I know how you get.
But right now, what I'm loving the fact that the beginning of the fall scream is road trip.
Woohoo! Where are we going?
Well, here's the thing. Everyone knows that one of the signature elements that has been a thread throughout my career, and at least a lot of the designs that we put together, has been the use of antiques and found objects mm-hmm. and vintage elements within a space to be able to add instant authenticity. And interest and conversation into a space. And I was recently asked in a couple of different articles, especially the visionary article that's going to be coming out soon in Lux Magazine. Look for us in that. In fact, we've got a lot of PR stuff coming up, actually. We've got some stuff coming in at a couple of magazines, Lux being one of them. There's a book launch coming out for Ryan Haney's book called Midwest Home, which is a beautiful hardcover publication that's coming out on like 20 or 20 something of the best top Midwestern homes that he's
and you're in that?
Yeah, that he's photographed. Oh, we were so honored to be a part of it.
Cool.
And, Ryan is just such a talented photographer. You'll see some of his photography on our social media and on our website. But if you go to Ryan Haney, he's literally one of those, I don't know what his website is. We'll look it up, Lauren. But if you can give it to me later in the show, we'll make sure we give him some love. But he's such a talented photographer. What he does is very interesting. His process is fascinating. He'll take a shot of a room, mm-hmm. and he'll take it with different exposures. Oh, there it is, ryanhaney.com.
I'm shocked.
ryanhaney.com. Look him up. He is... as good as it gets. And what he does is
Lauren, for waiting till later in the show, like 13 seconds later.
No, that's Lauren.
She is on it.
That's Lauren. Cheers to you.
Love
but I will
her.
Say, what he does with his process is take multiple exposures of a room and then he'll layer them to get what he describes as the perfect reflection or image minus shadows. You know, without reflection.
Yeah.
And he's just so talented. And so we're honored to be a part of that book launch because we found out that we're going to be speaking on a panel for Powerhouse, which is a networking organization, Powerhouse Chicago, which is going to be held at the Mart on November 5th, 7th, somewhere in there. And then we're going to be speaking again on a panel at Design Chicago. So
nice.
Design Chicago. So there's a lot that we're going to be doing, that I'm going to be doing, that Lauren's going to be following along, and that the team will be a part of as well. So we're excited about that. But the elements that we talk about when we talk about really adding in personality into a space, I think what I'm loving seeing is two things. And I've mentioned this on multiple occasions on multiple shows, Nancy, is the resurgence of the love of vintage and traditional design. You know, we have been, for lack of a better term, we have been Shea McGeed. We have been Magnolia, Joanna Gaines to death. Mm-hmm. And it's so great to see traditional design and historic design and to be quite candid, more timeless design and personal design being pushed to the forefront across the board. And you know that I've been telegraphing this for years.
Yeah.
That it just wasn't going to be sustainable. That the mountain modern sleek vibe that everybody has sort of dove in on, it was going to follow the same trajectory as modern farmhouse. That it was
I knew you were gonna say
at some point it was at some point it was going to have to morph into something better.
Yeah.
It was going to have to morph into something more substantial, different. And what I'm happy to see is the rules are being broken with some foundational visual and aesthetic in still modern farmhouse and in, you know, mountain modern that I really love. Like that, I'm not trying to like bash the other style. I'm just saying that when it becomes formulaic and you can't infuse your passion into it, and that you buy into that style, it's as bad as buying into a trend.
Right.
And when you buy into a trend, it's not you.
No.
Okay.
You're just a copycat.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that avocado fridges weren't cool back in the day, but I'm not saying everybody had to have them. Right. Like.
No, you could have goldenrod yellow if you wanted.
Mm. Listen, I'm going to give you an example
with
right
red
now.
Shag
I'm
going to
give you an
carpet.
Example. I'm going to give you an example right now. Of
I'm
something
sorry,
that
I'm talking about my childhood.
I
home.
Know it's okay, but what I'm loving, and again, we're going to get to this authenticity conversation about vintage and found object as we move through it, because I think people have a misnomer about. I think they sometimes misinterpret what I'm referring to. Sometimes the best vintage is stuff you already own from a relative. That passed it along, and it just takes a little bit of imagination to reinvent it. That's all it takes. We're going to talk about that as well, about when someone gives you something that you make inheritance face on, like, ew, I don't know what I'm going to do with that. Like, I don't know if I like that, I don't know if that fits my vibe. Well, how do you know? You're 20-something. You don't know
you
what
don't
your vibe is.
Vibe.
You don't have a vibe yet.
Whatever.
Stop.
You're a fetus.
No, Lauren's giving me 20-something face right now, but it's
yeah,
totally
is.
True.
You're
like,
a fetus.
You know what you're trying out in your 20s and early 30s? You're just
embryo.
You're just trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
Embryo.
I'll be news with you. With kids and life, you're just trying to figure your you-know-what out.
Just
right?
Stay alive.
You hit a point, and then you hit a point where you get what I call your style jet stream. Okay.
Your style.
You've tried enough things. You've bought enough crappy disposable furniture. Okay. You've ridden enough waves, and then you hit a jet stream where you're not going to do it again.
And you start throwing everything away.
I want to pick you up to that level. So, honestly, right now, if you're still not in your style jet stream, but you want to get there, I can help accelerate that.
Go make yourself a drink.
Yes. But when we come back from the break, and at the break, we're going to be enjoying our Apple old fashioned.
Oh, were we supposed to wait until the drink? Until the
no,
break?
It's fine. But okay. What we're going to do is we come back to the break. We're going to talk and we're going to explore and kick off fall with an exploration of authenticity in your interior. What does it look like? Where do you get it? And how do you make your home or your house feel like your home? Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. I'm just going to prepare everybody in advance that Lauren Taylor is now mic'd. Okay, so we're just going to let you know that welcome to The Design Coach. You're listening to me, the Design Coach, Philip Sassano, right here on Lake 96.1. We are exploring all things authenticity as it relates to vintage. However, Nancy has a topic as we consume our wonderful Apple
We can
fashions.
Either hear her reaction to this suggestion like from afar or directly into the microphone.
We might as well just leave her mic'd and let's just see where that goes.
Yeah, I think
I mean, I make no promises this morning on a Sunday.
I don't either. And,
that we
know,
won't get something we might have to bleep.
And but. I've got my finger on the button, so she's okay.
Thank you.
But probably because of me, not because of you.
Do you hear her in the background?
We have to. Giggling. Yeah, she's just giggling. We got to make a drinking game.
Okay, which is what?
When he says something, we drink. Like, that's, what do you think?
Okay, so every time I say something like... Right? Like,
no.
Like when I'm looking for effort, no.
Like vintage, like he'll.
When I say vintage?
Oh, God, no, we'll be wasted.
There's
by
a specific
the second,
word.
Like something.
Why don't you guys ponder that? And I'm going
we'll
to get back
ponder
to educating
that.
The,
oh, okay, you go ahead. But we're going to make, yeah, so get your Bloody Marys or your.
Yeah, whatever it takes to get you going
whatever it takes
here.
To get you through the breakfast show here.
Listen, I hope you don't have to be at work tomorrow. So the reality is...
No, it's Labor Day weekend.
No, so. Sunday of Labor Day is the best time to start day drinking. It's the best day to start day drinking. Okay? It's a Sunday. Start with your Bloody Mary. I'm choosing a more citrus cocktail that's a little heavier start.
Can I just tell you this is delicious?
Isn't it great? But it's better.
We're drinking without the game.
I know, but it's better when it gets watered down. That's what I'm loving about the crushed ice thing, guys. I can't. All of you people that are out there being like, I want tequila and vodka. Like, I get it. I get it. But like,
boring.
Do yourself a flavor and or do yourself a favor and let's get some flavor into the mix.
That was awesome. Do yourself a flavor.
That was an actual miscue. But anyway.
That might need to be a design coach.
Okay. Shh. Everyone focus.
Slogan.
Okay, focus. Design coach must focus. Okay, I'm back. Here's where we're at now. As we explore fall... The Labor Day weekend is the perfect time for a road trip. Hopefully, especially in this area, the weather has been phenomenal.
It really
It has been 62 or 58 in the morning.
Flannel.
No higher than 75 during the day. I'm loving that. And by the way, if you're a Jeep owner like I am, that means tops off. Okay, that's what that means. Like
the top of the car, not the tops of the people.
Okay, true. Not until next year when I lose... a few more pounds, then I will go shirtless.
Then you're going shirtless?
Julie's like, stop saying that. That's embarrassing for you to say. She's like, just stop saying you're going to go shirtless in the Jeep.
Go topless,
and you don't. She's like, even if you could, why would you? So she gets it. So anyway, and she's right about almost everything.
Lauren and I together really bring a new dynamic. Maybe it's
true.
Maybe it's her. Maybe it's the Jack. I don't know.
He's met his match.
Here's the deal. Here's what I. Well, honestly, with this whole team and where they're at right now, I couldn't be more proud of. What they're doing and what they're accomplishing on a daily basis. And if you haven't connected with us maybe in a while, go to our social media, go to our website, and really check out the service model that we're crafting. That's 100% a complete 100% innovation in, I think, interior design in the way that design build and honestly beyond the design is being delivered. Because it's like I almost feel like on the head of the website, I need to say design better, build better, live better. And I feel like those are really the three things that this team is really dedicated to. And I don't care if it's an event, and I don't care if it's a cocktail, and I don't care if it's a selection for your build. There's a way for you to have an understanding of how it all connects together. And on today's show, we're going to talk about why the authenticity piece is the piece that I think is one of the most essential in crafting spaces that last, and why they're timeless, and why they don't tire. I hear time and time again, Nancy, from clients over 25 plus years of doing this, why is my space feel disconnected? I've spent a lot of money. I've spent a lot of time. I've really done my homework on really trying to connect my interior, yet something still feels disconnected, or they still feel like something's missing. It's because people don't put enough of themselves into it, or they stop. They're afraid of going too far. And a defensive design posture is the enemy of creativity. And I'm going to take it back to the canvas for a moment because everything in my world goes back to canvas.
Okay.
If you look at the world like an artist, like I do, you're not afraid of making a mistake because why? You can white out the canvas and start over.
Okay. True.
People don't treat their lives that way. They are so afraid these days of making a mistake that it causes them to do almost everything in their life on the defense.
Because it's going to go on your permanent record.
Well,
that's
does it though?
Told. Like, but it doesn't.
But it doesn't though. Like, does it though? Right? Like,
right.
The crappy throw that you bought for $29 that, like, you know, your dog crapped on and that your kids threw up on.
Right.
Like, you know what
put
I'm saying?
Put it outside
like,
in the
like,
doghouse.
Like, I get the disposable design thing. I mean, earlier in the last segment, like, I got Lauren face. She gave me that face about, like, listen, you are in your 20s and early 30s, especially if you have a family, you're trying to figure your stuff out.
You're just trying to get by.
You're just trying to, and you know what? And you want to do it with some semblance of style.
Right.
And I really appreciate that. I get the temporary design and disposable design that there's a market for that. But at some point you have to graduate. At some point you have to graduate to next level. And you've got to say quality matters more than quantity, and quality matters more than, okay, here's the thing. Like I say this, like if you buy a furniture piece one time and you spend more on it, for instance, like some of the quality brands that we sell, like from Kravet to Vanguard to Lee Jova, to some of the higher end brands that we sell, those are furniture pieces that are meant to be in your life forever. They recover beautifully.
Right.
And they're only marginally more expensive than some of the store-bought ones that you buy that you literally have to throw out.
People have no idea, though, that you can recover furniture. That's like, they think about that, right? And it's like,
Victorian. But again, it goes to the root of my conversation today, which is, why do we feel like our spaces are disconnected? It's because you've put too heavy an emphasis on the disposable.
Yeah.
You feel just disconnected. You do feel disconnected from it partly because, to be honest with you, we have a commitment problem. We have a commitment problem in design. And we have a commitment problem in life. People have a hard time committing to almost everything.
Right.
They have a hard time committing to a job. They have a hard time committing to a spouse or a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Like, they have a hard time committing in general. They just do. Okay? And the one thing that you learn about commitment in your life, and I've learned this, is that when you're committed to it, you have to figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay? That's part of the equation. I literally hear from so many people, why is my space disconnected and why doesn't it feel authentic? Because you haven't put enough substance into it.
Right.
You haven't, in essence, put enough of you into it. And listen, that can be tricky because I think the mindset is so, it's so pervasive in our culture to want to get to the end product too quickly. Like, everybody wants to get to the destination, but they hate the travel. Every one of you right now listening is a kid in the back seat of your own design car. When are we going to get there? When are we going to get there? When are we going to get there? Can we stop for food? Oh my gosh, can we buy that? Can we have that? Oh my gosh, I want to stop for food again for the ninth time. Oh my God, got to go to the bathroom. Got to put it on pause. You all are kids in the back seat of your own design car. You are.
I just figured out the drinking game.
What's the game?
We have to take a drink every time you get Lauren face. That's a good one.
Cheers to that.
Except that the drinks are gone now already.
I have way more where that came from. We're good on that. I brought sustenance.
But you're right, because we don't.
You're not patient at all.
Yes.
You are not patient. You don't want the journey. In fact, the journey annoys you.
Right.
And it's where all of the fruit comes from. Like,
we're
what you
so
don't...
impetuous.
Here's what
we
happens.
You have to have it
you
right now.
You pick from the tree of design too early and too often. That's what you do. You pick fruit that's unripe with no vision, and you don't wait for anything in life at all. And then you wonder, it's like, ew. It tastes bitter. Yeah, because you didn't wait. You didn't let the quality infuse into your journey. You didn't take the time to slow down and think about what you wanted out of this design. You didn't bake enough function into it other than like survival mode with your kids, okay? Where you're like, oh my gosh, we can't have nothing nice because that's where you go. You go to the, like, that's why we don't have anything nice, because we all screw it up. It's like, no.
Particle board.
Oh,
everything is made of particle
this
board.
This episode feels like a personal attack.
We have. Did you hear that? That's so great.
I'm going to drink.
This.
That was a long
this
thing.
This is about, if nothing else, you know about how I feel about fall, and you know how I feel about the end of the year. I talk about it every year. It's a return to quality.
It is. And it's the best time to go natural and to go organic and to find.
But it's the best
pretty.
Time. It's the best time to go reflective.
Yeah.
And it's the best time to put you at the center of the design. Not the style, not someone else's style, but
right.
What you love and your passions. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the exploration of your passions. What does that look like and how to put it into your design this fall? Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Oh my God, there's a great apple. Let me just do this for everyone on air.
Oh, that's nice. That's good radio.
That's great radio.
Just chewing on the air.
Oh my gosh, go get yourself an apple.
Spit out your gum.
It's the official start of fall.
Okay.
Anyway, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. Yes, you in
I
the
immediately
front.
Have
you
a
in
question.
The front, in the white, yes.
Can I tell you how many mums I've already bought?
Yes.
18.
Oh, dear God. The mums, hey, mums are amazing.
House.
Okay, mums are amazing. They're
and
the
I'm,
biggest
I can't
scam
kill
ever.
Them, no, but I can't kill
I'm gonna
them.
Tell you why mums are amazing and the biggest scam ever. Mums are fantastic because they're full, they're lush, they're bright. I love them. I
it's
love
hard to,
mums.
They're hard to kill.
The first frost, they're done.
No.
Yes,
not mine.
Unless you cover them. Unless you cover
I've never
them.
Had this problem.
Really?
And I have mums in pots. That,
the problem
like,
with
I
mums is you can buy them to...
And move them, and they come back.
But you, no, I know that.
They're not supposed to.
I know
to.
They... No, but they're perennial.
Really?
Yeah, they are. But I'm just letting
oh.
you know.
Oh, well, I'm just letting you know. So I,
okay, then.
Then
I must be the person with the worst... Okay, I must be the person with the worst mum luck ever. Okay? Because I was... Julie always tells me, like,
hater?
Don't buy them. No, I'm the lover. Oh. But she's like, don't get them. You're just going to kill them. Mm. Like, I feel like she knows... Like, I am where mums go to die. It's, like, not great.
Well, not great. I will say this. I am a fantastic decorator with mums. I can't take credit for keeping them alive because my husband looks at the truckload of mums that I'm bringing to the house and says, you know, I have to water all that.
Oh.
And I'm like, yeah, okay, here's a 75-foot hose and you can get all around. Just go water the whole neighborhood. And he just, like, walks away.
So this is the part.
I can't take credit for it,
but
they are pretty.
So everyone listening on this Sunday morning, this is the part of the show where the cocktails take over.
Oh, they have. For sure.
And they have for sure. But what we're going to do is we're gonna
I'm going to turn off
Lauren's
mic for a minute.
We're going to pull it all back onto the rails, and we're going to start.
Sure we are.
We're going to go back to the authenticity. The authenticity. See what I have to deal with? The authenticity that really exists when you put you into the design.
Well, yeah, because...
Now, Nancy, what I love about the project that you're embarking on right now is there's a lot of you in it.
Oh, yeah.
And what I love about hearing you talk about your recent remodel of a, you know, Victorian era, mm-hmm. you know,
140-year-old
house.
American
is
Square.
That, is that you're putting so much of your passions in it, you're also willing to live with what inherently objects with a patina, which have flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Give you. Now, what patina gives you, and I want to talk specifically about patina, because I'm going to tell you the one area where we go wrong when we shop for vintage items. We can't look past the grime or the wear and tear. What I will tell you is that I have learned, and I think it's been the most important thing that I've done, is that any old piece can be brought to life with very little effort sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay? That... everything that can highlight the patina of the age of a piece can be found most times in a brush or a spray can.
Yeah.
If you're willing to sort of take the next step and look past the flaws. And I'm going to tell you that there's a very profound, one moment you in the front, there is a very profound moment there that I want to discuss because it's really at the heart of I think, why I like to use found objects. I love seeing the flaws in things and realizing that those flaws are maybe more of a journey than a flaw. I have surrounded myself and my wife has been with me every step of the way. My kids have been with me every step of the way. I am blessed beyond belief with people who have understood that my messy words are sometimes the only way that I can express what I'm trying to get out and are willing to kind of work through that with me versus taking the tone of what I say so unbelievably personal and projecting their own BS onto it.
Right.
Right. And the way that they feel about things when the reality is everybody's walking around with a struggled version of themselves.
Right. Everybody
like,
has a history.
Anybody who thinks they're walking around with museum glass around them, like they're perfect, stay away. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'd rather have people who are like, listen, this is my struggle. This is kind of what I'm working through. I'm just kind of letting you know this. This is kind of what I'm all about. And I have a team that's been very transparent about their journey. And we've had to work a lot of that out as a team to be able to deliver the high service model that we have. But what's great is our clients understand that we want them to share. We want them to share with us where they're struggling so we can figure out where to help and where we can also maybe unveil the thing that excites them that they were kind of afraid to tell people that they wanted to infuse. It's in that authenticity layer of the conversation where so many things bubble to the surface. It's not the picking. It's not the vintage markets. That is not where I'm going with this conversation today, that you need to go to antique markets
right.
to go find authenticity in your interior. It's that you need to be open to having the conversations about what makes you uniquely different than everyone else? And so so rarely in design are we willing to have that kind of conversation. Like, I don't think people, sometimes I don't think they think they're special. I think they think that they're, well, I'm kind of ordinary. Like, I don't really know what I like. And I know I kind of like this, but I don't really know how that fits. And so many people come to the design coach and come to our firm with a messed up, not a messed up, but a little bit of a jumbled understanding. But here's what I've learned. They know what they like when they see it. And what they typically do is what most people do in life. They don't trust their gut. They don't trust their gut. They let their heart, their mind, their wallet, their time override what they know in their instinct is good. And therefore, they will reject good.
Right.
They will reject love. Right. They will reject flaw and patina. And they will project as a protective measure, okay, that which they think might be a hassle. Yes, you in the front and the white.
As a single mom, as a business owner, mm-hmm. as a business manager, mm-hmm. a lot of different roles, a lot of different hats.
Yeah.
The one thing that is consistent in my life is that when I have second guessed my gut instinct, I have screwed up royally.
100%.
That is from managing. That's from people. That's from parenting. That's from, again, this house. That's from a lot of different things. I have been a serious, serious Nazi about we are not going to compromise the footprint, the history of this house. We are not going to change all of these things. We are going to add
Nancy,
to it.
You have just hit on one of the most important things in my client dynamic.
You have to trust yourself.
Well, it's even more important than that. When the client expresses even the hint of the doubt, you don't try to convince them. Otherwise, you explore it.
Right.
See,
right.
What I have heard is, it's funny because I have some very profound and really close relationships with clients that I know a lot more than I should probably know as an industry professional. But I've also chosen that, Nancy. I've also chosen to get design for me is personal. I've chosen that path, right? And I understand.
Yeah, there's a very different way.
But I understand what that comes with. I understand. Right. And I also understand the responsibility that it comes with.
Exactly.
But what I have found is that when I can hear the pause in a client's lack of its excitement mm-hmm. for an idea, that I'm asking them, are you processing? Or like, what is happening in your brain right now? And it has been when I've given the client time and space to explore that and not tried to quote unquote convince them.
Right.
And this is what most design professionals do. They have a direction, they have a vision, they want to execute their vision, and they will really try to bulldoze a little bit of that intuition. I can't tell you guys enough on the air today that if you're trying to infuse enough authenticity into your interior, that you have to be able to express your passions in a way, and you have to find a partner, whoever that partner might be on the professional side or the personal side, who can kind of workshop that with you, who can say, okay, well, tell me more about why you like that. And then let's try to find a way to make that more authentic.
Or why you don't like that.
Or why you don't like that.
And why you feel like it doesn't fit. Because I think that you're right. I think that a lot of people look at that hesitation like and then they turn around and try to bulldoze it through. Like, oh my gosh, now I got to start all over
I encourage clients so often, unpack that intuition.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't care if the intuition is pro my idea or anti my idea. Unpack it for me.
But that's
and then what do they feel? They feel like they're heard. They feel like they're seen. But you have to really be in tune with that.
Right.
You have to really listen.
It's because you do it different.
Yeah, but you have to also understand what's between the words. See, most people listen to the words and they either get offended or they get off-put by it or they have some BS personal reaction to what's being presented to them.
Yeah.
Instead of figuring out how to get behind that. Like, well, what's behind that reaction? What's in the space in between? What's in the silence of it? Mm-hmm. That's the magic. You know, I've talked on any number of occasions on the show about the negative space. But artists are trained when you talk about composition on a canvas. You're not just looking at the objects that you paint, but you're looking at the relationship of the negative space around the objects to make sure that the composition is cohesive. It's called negative space.
Okay.
It's the same thing in your relationships. The negative space can be silence. It can be inaction. It can be indifference. All of those things, inaction, Indifference, silence is a choice.
Yeah.
See, that's actually a form of communication.
Right.
But we're trained that if we don't say anything, we don't think that's communication.
Silence is consent.
No, wrong. You don't say anything, I know that that means something.
Right.
Sorry. Just because you didn't say anything and you didn't verbalize it doesn't mean I don't think something's up. Stop it. Just stop
actually,
it right
it's,
now.
It's almost even more of an alert that something's up.
More.
Uh-huh. Like if you are
and
nervous
and if there's a lot of
silence,
if there's a lot of silence and the first words out of your mouth aren't, hey, been meaning to get to it, I've just been slammed, but I want to get to it, then something's up. Mm-hmm. I would say the majority, if not all of my clients, if there's a prolonged period of silence, own that. I love that. Because it's immediately like, okay, can we just get back? Let's just get back at it.
But
and
you
I don't,
look
I,
at
I practice,
it.
And Julie and I have done this for a while. No guilt friendship.
Right.
When you don't hear from a friend for a while and you know that they're going through stuff and things are just happening and then they resurface, we have this like life policy of like, don't make anybody feel guilty for resurfacing.
No.
Right? Like, where have you been? Why have you called me? Like, that's yeah, that's just garbage. That is so pick me
right.
And so needy.
Right.
It's just so
and none of your
it's
business.
It's such an immature response right. To life in general.
Right.
Because it assumes that
oh
like everybody has so much going on that somehow you're required to fit into that.
Right.
It's like stop. Right. Like get over yourself. The reality is everybody's just trying to figure out their orbit and trying to figure out what their trajectory looks like. When they resurface, just be happy they did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
And I have learned that that's true for friends. Business associates, clients, and kids.
Yeah.
Like some of the greatest texts I get when I know that I don't hear from my kids for a while is, hey, I've been slammed, been meaning to call, promise I'll call you tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I was like, and you know what I don't say? Yeah. Haven't heard from you in a while. Nah. Like, well, what are you doing? Then immediately, like, shame coats the conversation.
Lauren
like,
Face.
You're insane. Yeah, Lauren Face. Drake. So. And everybody knows what I'm talking about. Like, you don't even need to go there. All you need to do is, I'm happy you resurfaced. Like,
right.
I'm happy you're there.
Like, oh, hey.
And thanks for reaching out. And when you're ready, do it. Like, when you can trust in the reciprocity,
mm-hmm.
That's when you know you have a good relationship with your design professional or your builder or your architect or whoever that might be. And I want you guys in this segment to understand that the intuition piece, the piece where you're afraid to verbalize some of your passions because you think that someone might not like them or they don't, quote unquote, fit into the design, I'm sorry. It is a design professional's responsibility to learn you, to learn what you love, to learn how you live, okay, and infuse that into the design. If they're not doing that, dump them tomorrow.
Right.
Okay? And honestly, call me. Anyway, you've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Stay with us. Okay, you know what? We haven't even come out of the break, and that hand went up faster, okay? Anyway, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
It's okay. You don't have
we're
to
trying
call
to
me.
Have
I
a conversation about authenticity, authenticity and intuition, and how that relates to sort of vintage and found objects. And we're going to talk about that. Yes, you and the
I remember.
White.
Listen, here's what I wanted to say in the white. The reason why...
There's like three people in the room, just so everyone knows.
Right. The reason why dealing with you and getting things done by the design coach and being coached through renovation and remodel and build and everything through you is because you look at that silence completely different than anyone else.
And people hate it.
No.
It took a while for my employees to figure it out that I was learning more from what they weren't saying than what
exactly.
They were saying.
Mm-hmm. And so you, other people look at it
I'm
as,
on
a,
you people.
At a, as a sales opportunity. Okay? They look at it like a sales opportunity. Like you said, you bulldoze
I'm
my
not,
idea.
I'm looking
you
at it like a relationship.
You look at it like an opportunity
I know, but
to
I,
do something
Nancy,
more creative
I wish,
or different.
I mean, listen, I wish I could say to
it's
everybody.
It's a big difference.
But listen, I've been in business a long time, which means I've made a lot of mistakes too.
Right,
I've
but you've lot, learned from
I've
them.
I've had a lot of successes, but I've had a lot of failures too, and I've learned from them. And I will say to you that it is because I have embraced the failures that I've been able to learn and grow.
Yeah, you don't just blow it off.
We're afraid of that as a society.
Yes,
we are afraid
for sure.
to embrace that. We want to hold everyone else accountable but ourselves. We want to be able to give every opinion under the sun, but then won't accept anyone else's.
Right.
That's hilarious to me. Like, if that's not, like, at the root cause of narcissism and, like, projection, like, are you kidding me? It's insane. In fact, it's borderline delusional, and it's societal at this point.
Right.
It's not isolated.
That's not how it works.
All. But what I'm going to tell you is that in this journey of understanding what works and what doesn't for your interior on the authenticity level, I can tell you that it is mostly in part due to the fact that you've really, really bulldozed, ignored, or silenced the intuition.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I'm loving about this conversation in this last segment, segment four, boo, okay, that I only have four segments. But the fact that what I'm loving about
I did used to only have two. I gave you two more. God.
I know. It keeps growing. I keep pushing. Anyway. Yeah.
Design coach starts
at 3. I'm so persecuted by the time constraint. Vote for segment 5. Anyway.
No.
Anyway.
My show is on after
this. Here's what I will tell you. What I will say is it doesn't necessarily start with the understanding of the history that you can find in found object, although that's a very easy way to go. Like, everybody has an appreciation for craftsmanship and things that used to be made the way they used to be made. And that's easy. Bringing in old things that are cool is obviously an instant cheat code as it relates to authenticity in your interiors. But that they don't really tell the story. What tells the story is collections.
Right.
Things that you collect because you like multiples. Or your personal history that you just haven't found a way to package. If you want to start this journey this fall, it's a great time to start it. It's that some of the best history that can be infused in your interior is the story that came before you and the story that created you. Okay. As you age, Nancy, like you and I have, I mean, we're both in our, you know, I mean, what? You're 39 and I'm 27.
Okay. Wait a minute. I'm 27. You're 39.
Yes, sorry.
Drink.
As we age, what we find is that that story actually really matters.
It does.
To us.
Especially as people and time pass.
But it doesn't matter because you're trying to learn someone, or you're trying to, let me tell you how it was in the old day. Right. That's not why it's important.
No.
It's important because the building blocks of the relationships of life are just that. It's layered.
Right.
You are a product of the way you're raised, of your environment, of your experiences, and most people try to run away from that. It's the minute you realize that you don't have to, because I think you hit a point in your age where you're like, I'm wired like this.
Right.
So either that's successful for me or it's not.
Like, oh, crap.
Like,
Yeah,
I am my mom or I am the problem. Right. And some.
Okay, I've never said I was the problem.
Oh, I won't admit it. The more you try to do big things with more people, you realize you're in your own way.
Maybe I am the problem.
But I will say to you that when you start to explore the history of how you came to be and where you want to go, that building the story from both ends is really exciting. I think that's something that I've really been committed to, like understanding my industrial roots. Like, I'll give you an example. I come from steel workers and farmers in Northwest Indiana and steel workers in Chicago Heights.
Right.
I happen to have this innate passion for industrial. I do.
Yep.
But then I cut that with this rural understanding of natural material, which is very much my farmer background. Even though I didn't grow up on a farm. Okay? But I understand it. It's in our DNA.
You're a product of your environment.
And so the more you can explore the authenticity within your DNA, both good and bad, it will give you clues as to understand that maybe the things that built you that maybe were harmful, maybe are more patina than scar. See, it's not the wounds of life that define us. It's what we've done with them and where we moved on from them that makes the difference.
This is true. So, and not just you, your family.
Oh.
And the progression and the lifestyle and the,
it's all of it. And it's way more complex than some style designation on a Pinterest board you're trying to nail.
Right.
Like, it's way bigger than that. Because most of the time, I find that that's a mask. Like, listen, I understand, and I've said this for quite some time, I'm an acquired taste. Okay? I'm going to pick at... No, I'm gonna dig at you to be able to understand what you're really trying to achieve in a way that's going to be... If you let me do it and you allow me to do it the way I know how to do it, the back end of it will be like you'll feel free and expressed and beautiful and stylized in a way that I know I've seen my clients experience. But if you gatekeep, if you shade, if you don't share, if you're not a partner, if you're not collaborating, I literally can't help you through design. And ultimately, when you know that I've said this, people come to me because they want help. If you could do it on your own, you're not going to hire me.
Right.
Don't hire me. I don't expect you to call me. But what I'm saying is most people are trying to figure out a way to navigate this. And we do it not only on the design build side, we do it on the decoration and layering side, and now we do it on the lifestyle side. Super profound, right? Think about that. Beyond the design, your designer who understands you, knows you, created a stylistic reflection of your passions, now wants to, quote unquote, serve you and right. have you enjoy the home. Do me a favor, guys. Go find that. Go find that
Jeez,
anywhere.
That's not what I thought he was going to say. Sorry.
I challenge you to find it.
Maybe I
We're
should
We're unapologetic
stop.
About You can definitely tell that the cocktails
she
are settling.
Stop. Listen.
But find it, Nancy. Find it.
You have. There's a difference between personalization and product placement. Uh-huh. Okay. And you can go and find. If you find five things that you are personally attached to, peruse the antique fair. That's fine. You see this. Oh, gosh, this reminds me of my grandma. Oh, I think, but you know, like this is a really weird thing, but I'm drawn to it for some reason. All of these things, because of your personality, can be put together.
Okay, but listen to this. I'm gonna take it one step further to kind of close out the last couple minutes here of the show.
Oh, no, you have a lot more than a couple minutes.
Who are you? Oh, that's good. Who are you in your design?
Right.
See, who are you? So let's just talk about that. When it comes to authenticity, are you the curator? Are you the participant? Mm. Are you the orchestrator? Are you the storyteller? Like, what
can't you be all of it?
You can.
Okay.
But at what percentage and where and when? Right? Like, I think people have these, especially now, Nancy, we see these idealized images on our social media of what the rest of the world is, quote unquote, by the way, supposedly doing. Okay. You know, you'll see a happy family sitting on their front porch all dressed perfectly, and you think that that's every Sunday morning when they take their kids to church. You know they're screaming to try to rip off those clothes the minute they get into the car or get done with. Like, we all know that what that Instagram, right, Pinterest,
Nothing
Facebook imagery is
right.
whatever we decide is what we think is the best reflection of ourselves, right. And it's shaded.
That's just a family portrait. That is not the picture of your life.
No, but what I'm trying to get people to understand is it's the authenticity of the growth and struggle that makes it beautiful. Flowers come out of dirt, okay? Not some pristine, okay, clean, okay, environment. These beautiful flowers come out of dirt.
Even beautiful English gardens, the most beautiful homes, the most beautiful landscapes you can possibly find that are age-old, classic, beautiful, beautiful gardens are grown out of
dirt. Right, but wisdom comes from struggle. It's
for sure.
The same thing. Nobody wants the struggle. Nobody wants the hassle.
But it's the struggle that got you there.
100%.
Yeah.
And then you
celebrate it.
It was hilarious because I literally this week was privy to some conversations that were just happening in my peripheral. And the reality was nobody wanted to be bothered with the growth because it's uncomfortable. It's not a safe space, okay? Where the growth is essential to the resiliency that gives you wisdom.
And that builds your safe space.
You don't, if you don't understand that that's the gateway, that you have to go through something to be of substance.
Right.
I'm sorry. I said it. You have to go through something.
What doesn't to be kill a person you of makes substance. You stronger.
Right.
You if have to do it.
If you've coasted and the roller coaster has been even, you know no up, you know no down, you have no reference.
And you're also not grateful.
Right. Okay.
Because this show talks about living a grateful life as well.
It does. This show talks about the fact that gratitude is probably the gateway to happiness.
Right.
Fact.
Right.
So is the ability to understand and edit what you think is the authentic you. And we all think the authentic you needs to be a positive. Remember, the struggle, your story, the bad parts are probably some of the most interesting parts.
Right.
So what you've had to fight through to get what you've achieved or to overcome what you've overcome is the story for where you're going and where you've been, and it's something people want to hear. Believe it or not, they actually do.
They really do.
They actually
really
do. Because
they can either relate.
Yeah, well, because
they can
everybody's
celebrate
I think
with you.
I think here's what I think. I think everyone's afraid to talk about it. I think that they think in some way it doesn't show them at their best. I think they're you are afraid to show yourself as your most vulnerable.
But I also think we
but
have
I think
a
that's
really...
what's and that's what's killing
right.
people's off, living their authentic life
right.
as it's reflected in their design. That's why they run to the mask. See, that's why they run to the trend. That's
it
why they
looks
run.
Good.
That's why they run to somebody else's gig because they're like, "Well, this is too painful to deal with on this level,
right.
so I'm just going to mask it here, and I have the money to do it."
Right.
Stop that. I know it's fake.
You do.
You know it's fake. I also know it's not going to last.
Right.
And I also know there's nothing there. Past my follow-up question, there's nothing there.
Right.
Okay. I will tell you that if you're afraid of that, you don't hire me. But if you're ready to graduate to a more substantive patina, okay, where your scars are just what built you, because they are, success, I mean, when they say success is a horrible teacher, it's true. That's a saying that's been out there forever. Your failures are actually not what define you, but your ability to overcome those failures is what actually does define you.
For
where
sure.
you've learned, where you've moved forward, how diligently and how much perseverance have you shown in overcoming the crappy parts of yourself is the same in design. How diligent are you? How resilient are you? How committed are you to finishing the crappy parts of your design? Whether it's a life or a room, doesn't matter. Whether it's your relationships, okay, or the relationship you have creatively with yourself, it's the same. Yes, you in the front.
No, I was telling you, you have about a minute left.
Oh, I have 1 minute. She gave me the 1 minute warning.
Listen.
Yes.
So this is maybe a side note, maybe it's not. Went to the antique fair and found this picture.
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe from early 1900s. It's okay. Black and white.
Great.
It's a huge family reunion. Not my family.
Yeah.
It's got 75, 80 people in it.
Isn't that great?
It's huge.
Yeah.
The picture itself is about 36 inches long.
Yeah.
By 7 or 8 inches tall.
Wow. Yeah.
And I have no idea who it is. You can see the people. You can see what they're wearing. You can see the expressions on their face. You can see, I bought it. It's not my family. Don't know who it is. Don't care who it is. But you know what? It's a reflection of a history and a past that I was really interested in.
And you
and I
bought
like it
because you value
exactly
the fact that they took that picture and they made that effort.
Right.
People respond to effort. And what package design does, what formulaic design does, is it minimizes effort. Don't do that this Labor Day weekend. Don't do that. Put in the effort. Have a great time. Be safe.
Make the drink.
And you've been coached.